the Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
Now then, we're delighted to welcome to the show All-Ireland winner back in 98 and 2001 with Galway, and now the Galway football manager, Páirc Joyce. You're very welcome.
Thank you. How are you?
Very well. Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
It's a huge I'm sure. Yeah, it's a huge honour, I'm sure. I mean, you don't become blasé about these kind of things. Taking over your county, big responsibility, a big deal to get the job.
Yeah, look, it's a massive honour for me and family in the club, as you say. But look, it's a huge, huge challenge and a huge job ahead. But it's something towards the last couple of years I've been kind of looking to try and do, but might have come along a bit quicker than anticipated. But I'm really looking forward to the challenge, and it's exciting times.
Because you've been managing the under-20s and you won a Connacht title with them this year. Obviously, Kevin Walsh stepped aside and parted ways with Galway at the end of this season. When did you decide, when you think to yourself, well, this is the time I'm going to go for it now? It's interesting you say it might have come around a bit quicker than you thought. What prompted you ultimately to throw your hat in the ring?
Yeah, well, look, like, these offers don't need an offer. I won't say an offer. These chances don't come along too often. And if I didn't put my name in the hat this time, I would have had to wait another 3 or 5 years to take it. So, look, as I say, I did only have the 1 year with the 20s under my belt. Ideally, you'd want to do maybe a couple of years of that if we go into it. But look, at the chance came up and I had to put my name in for it. And I am where I am now. So, delighted.
You had to interview for the role, I presume, Páirc?
Sorry?
You had to interview for the role.
Yeah, look, you have to get nominated. And the process in Galway is that you go and get nominated by the clubs, by your club to get nominated in. And I let my own club, Kilreardon, put me forward for that. And then you just go through the interview process. There was 2 interviews process, and it boiled down between myself and Liam Cairns were the last 2 left for.
What kind of things crop up in an interview process? What questions are they asking?
Oh, they ask you all sorts. You think you've everything covered going in, but you just basically go in and give your presentation as to what you can bring to the table for Galway football, your vision for them, where you see them going, watching resources you need to get where you want to go. And you are interviewed by 5-6 people from within the county, in the county board, and there's also a representative from the club delegates there as well. So like, the questions vary from top to bottom. You could be asked Anthony inside this, to be honest. But again, the people that interview you have got the best interests of Galway football at heart, so you answer the questions as best you can.
You must have to take advice in advance and prepare in advance, because even questions like what resources do you need, what kind of backroom team do you need? I know you're not that long out of the game, but it's changing all the time and backroom teams are certainly growing all the time. Do you pick people's brains? Do you go and do research? Do you spend time with any other managers or counties?
I'd be talking to a few managers around the county that I would have known over the years. Like, you know, I'd be friendly with a few of them that would have won Ireland and got places like that, and a few current managers I'd be friendly with. But I'd have a fair idea myself, Joe, what's involved, you know. So, like, as I say, interviews, my day job is recruiting, so I'm used to giving interviews and preparing for interviews. So, look, I thought I handled it very well, to be honest.
Well, obviously well enough to get the job. Has the county seen change much since you departed, Páirc?
Oh, immensely. Like, from when I left in, even when I started out back in 98, like, you know, the training that time was only maybe Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. When I finished in 2012, I was training 10 times out of 7 days, but it has changed an awful lot. Like, the type of training they're doing, the expectation from players nowadays is like definitely at a very, very high level. And obviously, you're dealing with different type people that's brought up in different generations, so you just find that it's just different, but kind of getting everyone along on the same path. Like, you know, I would be not relatively old, but I would be old school thinking a lot of the way, whereas the lads we have at the minute would be all modern thinking, and social media, all that kind of stuff takes over them. And there's a lot to contend with, but it's a good challenge ahead, you know.
So you were training 10 times across 7 days by the end?
I was, but at that stage, no, you have to remember I was getting old and getting slow, so I was trying to get faster and quicker, but it didn't do me any good.
Do we train too much these days? Do fellas need to be training for 4 or 5 months before they get into it?
I think we do far too much, and I think some teams do. Look, there's only, as I told our lads last week, there's only 168 hours in the week. I think some lads are doing far too much training. Like, we only train, I think the most you can get out of fellas is 2 good pitch sessions during the week, whether it's a Tuesday, Thursday and a Saturday morning. And obviously, if you're playing on a Sunday, you don't train on the Saturday. The gym sessions, like, that's kind of done away from training themselves. But I think, like, years ago when I started out, like, you had to get big and strong and all this kind of stuff. Whereas nowadays, I don't think there's a need to get as big. Obviously, to be strength-wise, strong enough to ride the tackles and take the tackles. But I think the overtraining in the gym over the years was probably a bit too much. But that can be curtailed a bit. But at the same time, you have to get quality sessions in. And I would be saying 2 on the pitch, 1 at the weekend, and get the 2 gym sessions in between the week. But that's plenty.
Because it's especially true of amateurs, where rest is so important. You know, professional could train every day and go home and rest. Amateur has to go to work. You know, if you're up training at 5 in the morning, I don't know how much good it does you sometimes to be up in the morning training, go to work, maybe train in the evening, train the next day. You're not actually getting a chance to rest.
You're not really. And like even these early morning sessions, like the nutritionists and these people tell you, there's no food in the body. There's no fuel in the body after sleeping all night. So the most you're not going to get much out of them, you know. And they were a craze there for a couple of years because the team, the winners, trained at 7 o'clock in the morning. So the next 2 or 3 years, everyone trained at 7 o'clock. But look, I'd still maintain that the body needs loads of rest. And obviously, they need a lifestyle balance as well. Because you're better off getting more quality than quantity of them during the week, you know.
What about skills of the game? I saw a very interesting quote from you, Pádraig. I think you were down to Galway Bay this week. And you were making the point that when you came in last year with the under-20s, you said, I was a little bit shocked at the skill level. Some lads were coming to me, 20 years of age. Can you kick the ball 30, 40 yards with both feet? Can you do it accurately? And a lot of lads couldn't, to be honest.
Yeah, I would stand by that. There's a lot of people, even inter-county level, a lot of teams across the country, you see, can't do that. Like, and then, like, when you're assessing fellas, like, we assess them with a skills test as well. And like, look, some can do it, a lot of them can, but you would expect your expectation from outside going into county that people can do this at will, but they can't. And look, something a lot of it you see is bore down to the fact of the tactics the last couple of years from different teams about mass defences, and people just want to win the ball, and just as soon as they get it, just hand pass it off to the nearest guy beside them. So a lot of that has to be developed, I think, and not just look at it, that's why I'm talking about Galway, but I'm sure across the board every county will be of the similar opinion that it's very hard to get fellas that will pinpoint a pass with both feet.
Because kicking's gone out of fashion, frankly. I mean, you talked there about the trends in the game, and if you're big and you can tackle and you're fit and you can get up and down the pitch and you can hand pass the ball, then frankly, you can kind of do 95% of what a manager wants for a lot of the styles of play that we see. So with Galway and this Galway team you're going to take charge of now, sometimes traditions in a county can be overstated. Like, we don't have 32 different footballing traditions, I don't think. Having said that, when Galway have been at their very best, they've always been a stylish team, an attacking team, a running team, a kicking team, very easy on the eye. And you would have played in one of those teams for sure. Kevin Walsh has been criticised, probably unfairly in some quarters, but he was criticised that there were limitations around the game. And maybe he suffered by comparison with Cora Finn. So what's your vision, Pádraig? What are you looking to bring to the game? Like, can you still play that brand of football that people might remember with rose-tinted glasses?
Yeah, well, look, you can, but if you look at the teams that have been successful the last couple of years, and Dublin mainly, but go back before that, teams that won Ireland, like, you know, everyone plays a good style of football. Like, the best team will win the Ireland every year. So, like, you need a mixture. Like, if Galway aren't going to go out next year and start kicking the ball from corner back out, like, there will be times that we will be defensive. We have to, you have about 4 or 5 different game plans within a game plan, but you need to play as best you can to your ability, obviously. But like, the better teams, you have to get ways of breaking down this mass defences. And I would be a huge advocate that nothing on the pitch travels faster than the ball. So, because if you slow the ball up coming out of defence, you're going to allow the opposition to get back and set up their 9, 10, 12 bodies behind the ball. But if you can move the ball in 2 kicks down the pitch, you have a great chance of getting early scores. But I appreciate what you're saying about Galway's traditional style. But when the Galway teams that won, even before we won them, like back in the 60s, they kicked the ball. Like, and go back to whatever team, Cork won it a couple of years ago, Donegal won it, they kicked the ball. Like, Donegal got criticised for being mass defending, but like, they kicked the ball in the final against Mayo and they got 2-3, 2-4 in the first few minutes, and that won the game for them. So you have to have plenty of styles, but the ball needs to travel.
Well, I mean, that Donegal team by the end were almost playing total football. You know, it started off defensively, but they got to a point. And so Kevin Walsh, he's a former teammate of yours. Will you talk to him? Have you talked to him? What did you make of his tenure?
I spoke to Kevin. I'd be good pals with Kevin, and I have great respect for Kevin as a player and the manager. And he's done a great job at Galway. Like, we languished in Division 2 for a lot of years. Like, and I was part of that group that was in Division 2. We couldn't get out of it. We got betting score difference and drew with Kildare 1 year to get up. And look, he's got us up. We're established there for the last 2 years, 3 years in Division 1. So he has done well, like, with what he has. And unfortunately, last year, like, was one kind of hiccup of a year. Like, but he'd done really well the year before, getting to a league final and an Ireland semi-final. But last year, he just had a lot of injuries to key players. And, like, you can legislate for some injuries, but overtraining or whatever. But the key injuries he got were bone injuries, and you can't legislate for those, you know. So he's unlucky that way. But look, he's been brilliant for Galway, and there shouldn't be a bad word said about him. So,
how are you with criticism?
Sorry?
How are you dealing with criticism? Because it's coming your way no matter what happens.
Yeah, look, you have to take it. Joe, everyone in the country, from man, woman and child, have an opinion no matter what. Like, and look, I've got some untoward indirect at me indirectly since I started, but it's water ducks back to me. Like, I'm thick-skinned. I don't care. I know where I'm going. I know what I want to do, and what people think doesn't bother me, to be honest.
So you've had some already, have you?
Hi, look, you've had some, yeah. I've got some about being not the right man for the job, being inexperienced, all that sort of stuff. But I don't mind that. People are entitled to say what they want, and just because they say something I don't like doesn't mean I'm not going to talk to them, you know.
Yeah, so you have that inner belief, sod them, I know I'm the right man.
Yeah.
Where does that criticism, how does that come, by the way? Is that on kind of local press, or are you just a bit of hearsay, or...?
You hear it being said, and you'd read it in certain quarters that you'd probably be checking out, like, but look, it doesn't bother me too much, to be honest, no.
Yeah. The quality of footballer coming through in Galway?
Yeah, look, I think we're in a very good place in Galway. We've good underage coming through, like, we've contested three of the last four minor finals, albeit we didn't be successful in them, but that's no harm either, because it'll make lads hungry as they come through. Like, and we had a great group last year in under 20, so I know there's a big step up in kind of strength-wise and grade from 20 to senior, but we're going to try and integrate a lot of them players into senior setup over the next year or two. And like, Galway is in a strong enough place and in football coming through. And like, Donal Flaherty has done a lot of work in the minors. He's now about to be ratified as the under 20 manager, so like, there's a good continuity coming through. And I think the last couple of years as well, that the managers of the teams involved in senior 20 minor have worked together closely to make sure that all this stuff has gone ahead and been done, which is great. Like, so that's only positive for us.
What will constitute as success for you?
Just winning at Ireland, simple as that.
Nothing less.
No, I won't see it as a successful tenure if I don't have San Maguire and Galway.
How long will that take?
Hopefully 10 months. Next August we'll have it.
Right, okay. And you feel that's attainable? That's something this Galway team are ready? This isn't a 2-3 year plan?
Like, look, that's what we're training for. Like, if I go into a dressing room and say, lads, oh, do you know what? We won't train for that this year. We'll train for 2 years' time. Like, what are they going to do? They're not going to train. Like, my target, and every county in the country targets provincial championships, national leagues, or Ireland's. Like, but Ireland's ultimate goal at the end of the year. And that's what every team are training towards. Mm. That have any ambitions starting out. There's no point going in half-hearted and saying, oh, should we try this and try that? Because if you go in that way, you'll train and it'll be half-hearted. The players will accept mediocrity, and which I won't. Mm. So I don't believe in... People might say, oh, she's talking rubbish or talking whatever. But that's the ultimate goal. That's the reason I got involved in Galway. The reason my backroom team got involved. And the players will believe that by the time the year's over.
Well, it's a very interesting point about the belief, because I could imagine going into certain dressing rooms and saying, lads, the plan here is to win in All-Ireland. And a certain percentage kind of rolling their eyes at themselves and saying, ah, here, come on.
Yeah, well, look, I'll tell you a story about years ago when we played Westmead in the minor. I was minor at the time, and we played Westmead in a challenge game up in Athlone, and we beat them about 29 or 30 points, not sure, I forget. But the manager of the team came in afterwards, and he says to us, so you never know, he says, we might see you down the line, he says, and one of our lads rolled his eyes to heaven. He said, oh, some chance of that, he said. They went on and won the Ireland minor final that year. So you never know, like.
Yeah. The county board is coming under criticism. What exactly is your understanding of what's going on here, Pádraig?
Look, I don't really have an understanding of it, to be honest. I don't really ask questions, because I'm that kind of a person. I'd be a private person myself, and what I do, I just keep my head down, get on with what I can control and look after what I can look after. But look, there has been financial irregularities going on, and there's been reports on that, but this has all happened forever. I don't know, we don't know how long ago this happened, 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago, we don't know. So that's been sorted out. As far as I know, there's processes and procedures put in place through Croke Park and whatever, and that's been put in place going forward. Galway GAA have installed Mark Gotcha as their financial operations manager, so he'll be looking at that going forward, all that sort of stuff. But again, it's outside my control. Like, it's nothing I can do about it. Like, it's there. It's not great publicity for Galway at the time. But look, it's happened in other counties. There's a story in Mayo going on. There's a story in other counties going on. But this time of the year, they'll all come out to light. But look, come January, they'll all be put to bed, and it'll all be about on the pitch.
Yeah, well, we covered the Mayo story, funny enough, last night, and that seems to be a real mess. The situation with Supermax seems to be unresolved. They want the two reports into the finances published. Mazars, one of those reports, highlighted 39 recommendations, which certainly seem like a lot. Like, there'd be a sense that things haven't been run brilliantly over the last couple of years, to be honest.
See, I don't always see, because I haven't been involved intrinsically in it. Like, but I know from last year, the 20s, that I got great support from Pat McDonough and the county board, so I can't really see what's going on. It's obviously, look at the two. Pat McGinnis is a successful businessman and very successful, and he has given lots of sponsorship to Galway over the years. Like, he's been sponsoring Galway when nobody wanted to sponsor Galway at the same time. But look, it's for the county board and Pat McGinnis to sort out. I haven't a clue what's going on with him too, and that's why I can't comment on it.
Joe Canning was interviewed recently. He was talking to second captains, and he was obviously there's the situation with the hurling manager as well. And he was talking about the county board and about the Supermax thing, and he said, this is the unfortunate thing. He said, there's lots of egos there in the county board. There's a lot of egos there that just want to do it for themselves, and I don't think for the right reasons. And hopefully they'll understand that Galway is bigger than one or two people. So he certainly has concerns about the board. Did you, as part of the process, have to set out certain terms and conditions, and this is how I'm going to do the job, and I need stuff ring-fenced, and I need this money? Because, look, there are problems, and I'm sure in every county board there are personalities that aren't ideal. Was that something you were conscious of?
Not really. Look, Joe, I went in with my plan of what I needed, and I've worked closely since I got the job with the football board and the county board. Like, and whatever I've looked for, I've got. Like, and it's not that I'd be a diva and want X, Y, and Z to throw the tiles out of the pram. Like, you have to work within the parameters that's set out within the county board. Like, and like, you look at the spend on teams and Winner Ireland, it's huge. Like, but have we got that money? No, we don't at the minute. But as time goes on, we have to try and do the best we can and get the best we can things in place for the football team. Like, but I appreciate that the county boards are under budgets and there are certain for certain things to be done and all the sort of carry on, and I work within that and work with them where need be and back and over. But I certainly haven't encountered anyone that's there for themselves, not for Galway football so far, I know it.
Okay, so look, winter's going to come and go quickly enough, and then you're into FPD. When do you knuckle down and start training and get into it?
Well, we won't do a whole pile of training this time of the year. It's kind of getting injuries, start out development squad and try and find out who we have, what we have. So look, we won't get into really until January, because it'll be after Christmas before we get going properly, real heavy, hard training, because we have the FPD League on the, I think it's the 12th of January against Mayo away. So that's a great match to tell us where we're at. You know, that'll be a bit of crack. Yeah. And in the following week is the final, whoever gets to it. And then we're straight into National League, which is, again, like, that's the competition that the eight teams in Division 1 want to survive. And then as time goes on, if you're promotion for a final, try and get to it and try and win it.
Well, hopefully things go well. And the very last one, I guess, is the amount of time you're going to have to put into this now, I presume with work and with family, that's a big thing. Did you have to sit down with different people and try and work this out? How much of a consideration is all that?
It's huge, Joe. Look, as you know, I work for myself, I'm a recruitment company. We've over 400 lads working for us, so we're busy out in that, and we're all over the country, and I had to sit down with work and make sure I had the proper place and work, because I won't be around work as often as I should. And obviously family life at home, I didn't want that to suffer. I have two young kids, and that's 4 and 2 and 17, so look, I don't want them to suffer while I'm away. So look, again, it's just time managing really, and that's what it's about, and getting the right support in place in work. And I'm very supportive from my wife, I'm okay that way, and I have the work side was covered, and I have a good background team around me in the football team, so they all know their roles, so I don't need to be doing as much. So if everyone does their part, you won't be putting as much time into it as you think, you know.
Okay, well, listen, good man, congratulations on the appointment. An interesting year ahead. I'm sure we'll check in once or twice across the year. Very best of luck with it, Pádraig. Thanks a million.
Yeah, chat to you soon. Thanks very much.
The Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.